Live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hour on Cofield and Company, brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. All year long, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, taking your calls, advice, help, 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, dial 775 in the north. A little more hardcore football breakdown with Jeff Chedia. We talked to him just a little while ago from NFL Network, and Jeff's really good. Does a podcast as well with our buddy in Kansas City, Saran Petro, called Red, Gold, and Bold. It's a Chiefs podcast, so be careful. Tread lightly. Tread very lightly. But we started breaking down the game, and this part of the convo, John was asking, John Von Tobel, just, you know, why doesn't Hurts get respect? I mean, he's good.
To me, you look at the way he played the last time these two teams hooked up. He outplayed Mahomes. He was the best player on the field. He had one play that he would love to have back, that fumble. People forget. We always, you know, the Chiefs have had a great run, three Super Bowls, going for a three-peat. People forget some of the moments that helped that. And that fumble he had in that game at that moment, Jalen Hurts, they were up 24-14 in the first half of that game. And the Chiefs were reeling. The Chiefs had to fight their way back to win it. And so if he can avoid those kind of plays and make some of the plays he made the first time around, I know that's a big ask the way he's been playing this year. I think the Eagles are going to win the game.
Why don't we were thinking about this the other day because Adam Hill, one of our guys, and I can't remember who, but they're arguing about like Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and who's the better quarterback. And I was like, why aren't we talking about Jalen Hurts like this? He's been to two Super Bowls now in 3 years. He's got a great record as a starting quarterback, right? Like, they give him the job. It's seamless. He's been fantastic. He was awesome in that Super Bowl. Why don't we have the same conversations about Jalen Hurts that we do about these other guys that haven't even made it to the Super Bowl, let alone like he has?
Yeah, well, one, he's not as phenomenal as those guys are. He doesn't make those kinds of plays. But the way he came in, the way his college career went, there's always been this stigma attached to him that he's just not good enough. Like, he's okay. He's a good guy. He's a good leader. He's got some skills. But when it comes to making those kind of plays that Patrick and Josh and Lamar make, he just is not up to snuff. I feel like he's this generation's Eli Manning. We were just talking about Eli. I think he's the kind of guy that people don't respect. But when it comes time to actually having to make these kind of plays on these kind of stages, he tends to rise up. And so it's – look, when the Patriots lost their Super Bowls, it wasn't to, you know, the big name guys. It was the Eli Mannings. It was to the Nick Foleses. And so it wouldn't surprise me again if Jalen Hurts found a way to win this game, because I think he is somebody who does rise to the occasion.
That's a great comment, because if you put, say, four other guys who haven't been there, haven't made it, you know, the stars of the AFC, and you said Jalen Hurts straight up trade for Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, people would be like, there's no way. But maybe you would do it.
Yeah.
Maybe there are just intangibles. Mm-hmm. We always laugh on this show. I've been trained to not say because I get yelled at, but at clutch. There's no such thing as clutch. Mm-hmm. There kind of is.
Yeah.
I get yelled at because the analytics, it doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm. There is. Something to be said for playing within yourself. And sometimes when you're the less talented player, you understand what you have to do to win. I give Jalen Hurts a ton of credit for realizing I'm not Josh Allen, I'm not Lamar Jackson, but I can do certain things within this offense, and I can take coaching, and I can stick with the game plan. And just because I'm not throwing for 500 yards a game and producing 50 touchdowns in a season doesn't mean I don't have value. I look at him and Nick Sirianni in the same way, to be honest with you, because they're able to adapt to what it takes to win. When Jalen Hurts started playing, this team was running like the wishbone. Like, they ran for more yards than anybody else in the league that year. Then they became more wide open. Last year, I think him being hurt was a big factor in what went down, along with that meltdown. But this year, they've come back. Saquon, you're the guy now. Like, we want to do all this stuff offensively with the pass game, but you're our heartbeat. We got to ride through you. I don't know how many quarterbacks could really, you know, take a step back and let somebody else be that guy. And so I give him that. To me, is leadership. That's what he brings to the table.
So to the point of Saquon, if you look at a lot of different metrics, numbers, basic statistics, Chiefs pretty average against the run. No. We saw the first two rounds of the playoffs. I think the Eagles are going to win this game. I think it's going to be Saquon Barkley, and a big reason why is this Chiefs defense as average against the run as it has seemed throughout this this time.
Well, I live in Kansas City, so you know, Steve knows Saran Petro, a good friend of mine, I do a podcast with. they will tell you this defense is elite.
Yeah.
Like, they look at the numbers and say, it's elite. And I look at it and I say, you know what? I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a defense that the last two games gave up at least 150 yards to Buffalo and to Houston. I look at a defense when they were having big games against the run. Some teams had offensive line issues and things like that, or they weren't facing backs like Saquon. Yeah, I think Saquon is certainly poised to have a big game in this, because to me, like, tackling Derrick Henry, for example, is about courage. Do I want to get in front of that bus? Like, Saquon is out in space and he's challenging your angles, the numbers you bring in the run game, and you add Hurts to the equation. I think it's harder to decide what kind of personnel do I want on the field to deal with that kind of a player. And so I do think he's poised for a big game. And to go back in time, this reminds me a lot of Terrell Davis with the Denver Broncos, playing the Packers, playing a dominant team that had won a Super Bowl and was on its way to winning a second straight, and he just took over the game. It wouldn't surprise me if he had that kind of game in this moment.
We talk about the elite names in the Chiefs organization, so we'll go with Andy Reid and Mahomes and Kelce. Is there someone else that has made a lot of this possible? It could be behind the scenes person, a player, a leader.
Oh, I think it's Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones is, I say it all the time to people in Kansas City, this team has won championships because its best players have played great in the biggest moments. And so you've seen that from Travis, you've seen that from Pat, you've seen it from obviously Andy on the sidelines. But Chris Jones last year made three plays in the Super Bowl that prevented three touchdowns from happening. You know, he didn't get a sack, but they were prominent plays because a touchdown was about to be scored there in a game that was decided by 3 points. You go back to the first Super Bowl win over the Niners. He rushed Jimmy Garoppolo, knocked down some passes. He's in his face when Garoppolo has a guy wide open going down the field, and that pass gets completed, the Chiefs probably lose that game. And so he's done these things throughout the course of their run. The question I have is, best offensive line in football now. You know, guys who can take you away. Do they have other people who can fill that void, whether it's George Karlaftis or Charles Omenihu? Because I think it's going to be if Chris Jones has a great game in this Super Bowl, might be his greatest game ever.
Jeff Chedea, NFL Media, also does the Red, Gold, and Bold podcast with our buddy Saran Petro from WHB in Kansas City. Did Chris Jones comment on tush push or brotherly shove at all? Because they dealt with a similar deal. They're not as good. Bills were good this year,
yeah,
but Josh Allen couldn't get low, and now they're going against the ultimate team on this 1 yard run.
Well, the Eagles wrecked them in that first Super Bowl too. It's, yeah, like every fourth and short, third and short. I think they converted like every one, yep, of them that first time.
They did. And they missed Jason Kelce a little, yeah, bit, and Cam Jurgens has been banged up. Lennon Dickerson's been banged up. So we'll see how that. Probably with 2 weeks, that might change. They'll be healthier for this game, but. Yeah, I think in that Buffalo game, it was more about Buffalo's unwillingness to adapt, to adjust to what they were doing. Clearly, they felt like Josh Allen's going over left guard. We're going to put our two biggest players in that spot and see what happens, and he kept going there. I think the Eagles are pretty good at adjusting. I think they recognize that they're going to have to be able to transition if the Chiefs make that same strategic move. Now, again, you're talking about a play that's 90%. You know, success rate. Like, I think they're going to stick with it. They're going to find some ways to get it done. And it's a big part of this game. Like, the one thing the Eagles will do that I thought Buffalo should have done in that game, they will stick with the run. Buffalo went away from James Cook. He was having a big day, and they got, you know, they paid a price for that. I think Saquon Barkley is going to have 30 touches in this game. I imagine he'll be a bigger threat as a receiver in this game than people think, because he can catch the football. They don't throw it to him that much, but he can be dominant in that game. I think he's going to be a factor in all different phases.
The offensive line for Kansas City. How does this thing look against this front seven, especially with Jalen Carter? I know the other day there was a story about it. No media availability. What's up?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yep.
Do we have an update on Jalen Carter?
What happened?
I think it was a no-show for media availability, correct?
He didn't show up.
He missed media availability. They said illness.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So immediately our mind rushes to, you know, I don't know. Well, that, yes. I mean,
baby, yeah.
Oh, you know what? That's funny. I could not remember. Really?
What? I'm not reporting anything. I'm just saying. Yeah. No.
Did you see him last night when we were getting our hard tanks?
Maybe. I have a spotty memory of last night.
Yeah. So probably something to follow. I mean, he might be sick, legitimately sick, and missed it. But
yeah,
it's kind of an important player.
Yeah. A little bit. Well, as far as the offensive line goes, that is the elephant in the room. Yeah. I feel like for the Chiefs, because they've been able to mitigate some of their problems from earlier in the year. But I think what they've done has been a nice Band-Aid. I don't know if it's a solution. And what I've seen from Mike Caliendo at left guard, who moved there when they moved Joe Tooney out to left tackle, is a guy he can be taken advantage of. You saw in that Buffalo game where Jordan Phillips took him like he was like a five-year-old kid and like put him into the high chair. You know, took him walking right back to the quarterback. Jalen Carter, even though he lines up on the left side a lot, I think he'll see a lot of Mike Caliendo. And so that leaves, they're going to have to double-team Carter at some point, I imagine, throughout the game. And to me, Nolan Smith is an under-the-radar player in this game because he ran a 4.38 40 at the combine. He's had a really good year. Joe Tooney is a guard playing left tackle. And you're bringing speed like that off the edge. I think you're going to see Nolan Smith matched up against Tooney a lot in this game. Jeff, so that, to me, is a big question.
Sorry. Jeff Chidi is with us. Let's close on this. He's from NFL Media. We got a lot of hot take, hot shots out here, right? Oh, we got to have hot takes.
Whole room.
I want to see if we get one here. First of all, you like New Orleans?
I love New Orleans. I love coming to New Orleans.
I was hoping someone
best
would come on.
Best city for Super Bowl. Best city by far.
Whoa.
Best city.
We were there last year.
I like Vegas. I see the sign. I know where you guys come from. But in terms of like...
By the way, there was no fear when I moved. Like, I kind of moved toward him.
I'd take him.
Yeah. He just laughed.
In the fight. I'd take him.
Yeah, you got to tackle him. So he can't get to me.
Yeah, no, but New Orleans is great.
I think it is too.
Great culture, great walking around. Yep. You know, you can walk to the game. Obviously, you can do that in Vegas, but the food is phenomenal. It's just the people are great. I think the stadium sucks. I'll say that. I mean, the stadium's awful. They need to get a new stadium down here because the last time we were here, the lights went off.
I'm scared about that part. That we're not going to... I'm going to say we as a part-time New Orleans resident. I'm not, but I love this place. Could the stadium keep them from getting another Super Bowl in what should be like 6 years?
I don't think it could. I think it will, right?
Damn it.
This is when the NFL is done.
Where are they going to get the money to freaking build the stadium here?
I would assume the government.
You're right. I mean, but you get my point. Yeah, this is actually kind of a poor state.
Sure.
They struggle. Public money for some $2 billion behemoth.
But the rebuttal would be football.
And then I would rebut myself by saying I don't really know a whole lot about their visitors and convention authority. Mm-hmm. I would assume it's good.
Oh, yeah.
That they have a budget.
Yep.
And that's what those people do. That's what the LVCVA does.
And hopefully when they're having all of these meetings – it's not like what happened in Las Vegas where we had government officials come on our airwaves and say that they had not read any proposals and yet still voted yes on them.
I mean, for sports fans, I guess that's what they want out of their politicians.
Just yes.
Just like, just hey.
Approved.
Sports, yes.
Yep.
How about details? No idea. Don't care. It doesn't matter. Yeah. That politician voted
you
for money
for
sports.
You need to build the NFL a new stadium every 10 years. Approved.
And on the reality side of it, you do need to drive tourism to a town like this, and you need monster weeks like this one. Yeah, I hope they get a new stadium, and then I hope, again, we believe there should be a five-year rotation, and New Orleans and Vegas should always be in it. Then you can find your cities. You want to have a one-off in Philly, then you do it.
Not a cold, though.
They're going to get one. We'll talk about it on the way back. They're trying to build a stadium.
Back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We need to do a mashup with this version of the song and then Adam Hill's version. We gotta get that clipped. He said the song was stupid.
Is this the When the Saints Go Marching?
Yeah. I said it's probably the most relatable, the recognizable song for a city that you can actually kind of hum. And then he tried to hum New York, New York, and it was a disaster.
The Alicia Keys one?
No. Sinatra.
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely.
It sounded like his. But he was freaking nailing the When the Saints Go Marching In.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that New York, New York? Or when the Saints go marching? What is that one?
That's the Alicia Keys one.
I think you're trying to.
New York!
You sing it better than your
homie. Concrete jungle. I hate that song.
Why do you hate it?
Because of the message, of course.
Oh, it's another.
Another pro-New York song. You we get it. It's a great city. It's a wonderful place. You can't make it here. You can't make it anywhere. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Philly's going to try to build a stadium. Actually, Jeffrey Lurie's going to try to build a stadium. Dome stadium. That's a big haul, man. So if he's got the money to do it like Kroenke.
That's lame, though.
They could get a Super Bowl.
I know, but Eagles games are cool, like, outside. I enjoy watching, like, cold. We're going to get to a point where we're either not a society or every team's playing in a dome, and that's lame. Unless it's, like, a nice climate, i.e. San Francisco.
I really like Philly a lot. Not exactly convenient. Mm-hmm. Really good food there, too, though, but not real convenient. We had Spice Adams, high-level entertainer now. Great college football player. Sit down with us. He was actually pitching for Cracker Barrel Cheese. They dropped off like a 12-pound charcuterie box. We have plowed through that thing. Well, meanwhile, Spice has lost a bunch of weight because he got up there. He was kind of a fatty. We started off the conversation about weight loss and how much you down.
I lost over 140 pounds.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. What was your max weight?
I was about 415.
Wow. How'd that work?
Oh, it was, I didn't know it at the time because I was still able to, you know, do the splits and jump off my back and do kick-ups and, like, all that stuff. But, you know, I was just bad health-wise, you know, to the point where I almost had diabetes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I had to do something about that.
That is incredible.
So
though,
I just you know, just got the Ozempic, man. Yeah. No, I'm just messing with you. I did a lot of boxing and
by the way,
just ate right.
If you got it, who cares?
Yeah.
If you got it, who cares? Lose the weight, right?
Nah, man. I'm old school, man. I don't do all of that stuff.
I'm lazy.
It's just so much more rewarding when you do it. Like, you find out more about yourself and your willpower and things that you can eat and things that you can't. Because, you know, you don't know. Like, back when I was playing in college, I could eat a whole large box of pizza and gain 1 pound. Like, now if I look at a piece of pizza, like, I gain like 3 pounds. You know what I mean? So you learn a lot about yourself in the process, and it's been a great experience for me. But it's hard to lose the weight, but it's even more harder to keep it off.
Did you say you were doing the splits at 415?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
I was a great nose guard, man. Like,
yeah,
these are,
yeah.
It comes in handy when you're under them piles and, like, you get some, you're like this and you're doing the splits. Like, it comes in handy, man, for sure.
So you obviously have, you know, this other career after football, but you were doing it during football, right? You were already preparing for this. You were getting ready. I know you were doing some media stuff and some, you know, some online stuff like that. So was that always the plan for you?
No, I had no idea that I was going. I didn't even understand how social media worked, let alone how you can monetize it. You know what I mean? So, and at the time, they had Vine, which was 6-second videos, and I don't even think Instagram even had video. It was just all pictures, you know what I'm saying? And that turned to 15-second videos and things like that, and then they had YouTube, and so I was still trying to figure it all out, you know, because I had a lot of my teammates, they were well-versed in all of the social media stuff, and I would be making their page hot. You know what I mean? They'll be taping me doing something in the locker room or taping me doing something in the training room. And I'd be like, what's going on? Like, why you got all these interactions or whatever? They're like, dude, this is how Twitter works or whatever. So it's been a great journey. I didn't know how I was going to get here, especially getting released the way that I did. I got released at Disney World with my family.
Oh, no.
That's not even a joke. Like, that's what happened.
They called you?
Or you had to work.
Lovey Smith called me and said, hey, big guy, we're going to let you go. And I'm like, let me go where? Like, where are we going? We're going to the Super Bowl. Like, you calling me in February? That's respect. That's respect, you calling me in February. You thinking about me in the game plan on February? Thanks, coach. I love it. End up getting released at Disney World.
Did you stay and enjoy the rides?
Have you ever seen, you know, how sometimes you be sad like this, but you'll still be moving like Spike Lee? That was me just like walking through Disney World, just like straight face and just like, man, what am I going
to
do?
Sorry to make you relive it, but do you tell the family or do you kind of keep it to yourself so that their day is not ruined?
Well, when they see my face, they know something. Yeah. Like, I'm on the phone like, hey, coach, what's going on? Then it slowly turns to, huh? What?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And then they're like, what's going on? Just got released. I'm not going to be playing in Chicago no more, but enjoy Mickey Mouse.
Hey, how old were you kids at the time?
Oh, man, I think my oldest, I got one boy, three girls. I think my boy was maybe 10.
Well, because they do the thing that sometimes when they get delivered bad news, like, cool, dad's going to be around more. And it's like, well.
Yeah, but, you know, they so young, man. Yeah. They don't know what's going on, man. And it's just one of those things. It's all a part of the business. You know what I mean? And what I was excited about was that sometimes the coaches don't even call you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I had one of my homeboys, he was bass fishing. He found out on a bottom line ticker that he got released.
They don't call you?
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they notify the agent, and then the agent notifies the player. Sometimes.
That's weak.
But in my case, Lovey Smith called me, Rod Marinelli called me, Bob Babich called me, even the defensive backs coach, Gil Bird, called me. So that was really cool. They didn't have to do that.
This is very important. I just realized why you said it earlier. Cracker Barrel Cheese.com.
Yes.
Cheese.
Yep.
Right. Because obviously we got something else.
Right.
Okay. You lit up, or at least you were getting all giddy, fired up. Spices with us about Pete Carroll.
Yeah, talking about the Air Monarchs, man. I respect anybody who wear Air Monarchs like that. Man. You know what I mean? Those are the comfort kings. I don't know if you ever put on a pair of Air Monarchs, but those things, oh my gosh. It's like having pillows with every step. They are the comfort kings, man. Shout out to Air Monarchs, man. They make a great shoe. I get mine wide, 4E. You know what I mean? Size 14, 4E. And it's great, man. You cut grass in it. They can become house shoes. It's very multi-purpose, the Air Monarchs.
It's quite a promotion.
Wear them to the store and
CrackerBarrelCheese.com. Yeah.
Exactly,
let's
man.
Let's give the
if
cheese
you wear Air Monarchs, I guarantee you you know what Cracker Barrel Cheese is.
One last thing, because I know you got a tight schedule. These, we'll say the two premium defensive tackles on each side, right? Jalen Carter, the younger guy, and Chris Jones has done a lot for the Chiefs in winning these titles.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh.
Not going against each other, but just the impact on the
game. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's all I watch is like the trenches. And so all I know is when they pan over to the sideline of the Chiefs, if there is like a little bit of moisture coming down from Chris Jones, like if it's coming down like from his eyes, he's locked in. He's locked in. I love to see it, man. I haven't seen a game in the playoffs where he wasn't crying. Like he's, I don't know what he's thinking about. But I love it, man. I love it,
what
man. You get it. You get in your stance, man, and you find that sweet spot and you take off. You get football is the only sport where you could physically whoop somebody in front of you and not have to worry about the police. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is the greatest, man. Anything that you're going through, you can just take it out on somebody's head and the crowd they'll cheer for it. It's the best. And you
Adam,
can pay the King's ransom for
again.
King's game.
I got to out Adam again to close. Adam played high school football. He was a dancing bear.
Uh-huh. That's what they called me, dancing
but
bear.
But he was a complete pansy.
I didn't want to touch anybody. I didn't want to. I could have the sled on the practice field, not hitting anybody. Great. The coaches were so excited. And then get on the field, I'd be like,
Where was this at?
In Vegas.
In Vegas?
High school in Vegas. Oh, okay.
So I don't wanna, is I don't that 11, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to hit anybody.
How is that possible?
I couldn't do it. I would just get mauled.
Sucked.
I didn't want to be physical. I was just like, I don't want to hit
somebody. Oh, yeah, okay.
That was the point.
That's
the
explains
point.
It.
He's the meek inherit the world over here.
So you agree with this?
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, this show is different.
Oh, I'd love to go up against you, man.
Yeah, you would have destroyed me.
Stat game. I want to have a Hall of Fame game on this guy, man.
To your point,
what position?
I play both ways, tackle both sides. But I was a basketball player, and they were like, dude, you're too big. You're athletic. Get on the football field. And I was like, yeah. And I, you know, on the sled, they'd be like, oh my God.
Which is playing basketball? Center?
No, first of all, I'm a shooter.
He's not going inside.
I'm a shooter.
No. You said you're a shooter.
I'm a shooter.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Knocked down all day.
You're a point guard?
No, but I was playing
on
the wing.
You don't see too many offensive linemen playing point guard in basketball.
I was on the wing, but I was just a shooter. I was a shooter.
He doesn't want to bang.
I don't want to hurt. I don't hit anybody. I don't want to be physical. I don't want to get in the paint. I was too scared. I mean, I'm not a physical person at all.
No. Okay.
We'd play pickup.
Did you play golf?
No,
you don't have terrible. To be physical in golf.
I'm terrible at golf.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I don't know. I'm trying to find something for you. Trying to find something for you.
I like to be competitive. I just don't want to. I don't want to hit
video games.
I had to give it up.
What do you mean?
I got too addicted. Grand Theft Auto 3 got
that's
me.
That's not a drug. This is a game.
Got me, bro.
What do you mean I had to give it up? Like it's going, a drink. Like it's
when
a beer.
When I started my job at the newspaper, I would work 8 hours, go home, start playing games, and I'd be like, oh, I have to go to work again.
Yeah.
I can't do this
that's
anymore.
That's the life, man.
I can't do
that
this anymore.
That sounds like the life to me.
No, it was terrible. Terrible. Too addictive.
Well, you know what's best for you.
Exactly.
Man. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cracker Barrel cheese. Cracker Barrel cheese.
We've been going crazy.
We got a tong in here, you know what I'm saying?
The olives in there, too, are great. The cheese is fantastic.
We out here, man.
Tongs.
We out here, man.
Right with the hands. They scooped it out.
Nah, man. You got to get the tongs, man. There's too much going on around here, man.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans, on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
JBT across the way, it's Cofield. We go out to Circa Stadium Swim, one of the best spots at the property, to watch the big game. What's up, Greg? What's going on, buddy?
Man, I tell you what, it's in the 70s, it's beautiful outside, the Knights are on the big screen, all the odds are up here, it's a great day to be at Stadium Swim, I tell you.
Excellent. I got to get you in on the story here, say hi to JVT.
What up?
What's up, dog?
listen, I know Tom Brady's not great, he needs polish. Greg Olson is not God's gift to broadcasting. Can we stop asking Greg Olson and building up this narrative that Greg Olson got screwed? Or Salerno, are you in the camp of like, what a screw job, I hate Brady. Greg Olson is a cheated soul.
I got to be honest. I was kind of in the like Brady's going to suck camp at the beginning, and I thought his personality was kind of stale, but he's actually gotten better throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, so you haven't watched any of his games.
But yeah, no, I mean, I do feel like he's gotten a little bit better. Yeah, Greg Olson isn't exactly, I mean, you know, come on. I don't know why
he's solid.
Got that. He's good, but I mean, I don't know where they got this thing where it's like, nobody's ever going to live up to Greg Olson. Like, I mean, I don't know right. Where that came from.
Yes, it's been a rough existence for 6'5 blondes in this world. He'll be okay. The other angle, Adam Hill did. I know you said this. I don't know if it was a fake conversation or real. Has someone asked Greg Olson about the Miami song?
Oh.
And Greg with the third leg?
John was talking about that.
Okay.
There's a TMZ-esque video where they
and
walked.
And someone actually asked him.
They walked up on him and asked him, and he just kind of gave him a, nah.
Do you know that whole thing, Greg?
No.
He was part of a rap song. What was it?
Seventh Flow Crew at Miami. And they obviously they were up to a lot of shenanigans in the dorm, but they put out a rap song, and it, actually he wasn't terrible.
He was Greg with the third leg,
but he was very vulgar.
It was just getting women up to the seventh floor, but it was like it was talking about doinking on the hood of a car. There was someone got something in their eye. it was graphic, and it's embarrassing now for a guy who's like. Really high level broadcaster,
right.
But like we're not going to forget the song. Sorry, it ain't going away. We played it ad nauseum back in like 2006, maybe.
He's also Greg, a pious.
Greg with the third leg. Oh, is he?
Yes, he's a very pious, I think, man. I believe now.
No,
got to double check, but I'm
oh,
certain.
No, he's got the religious card.
That's gonna. I started typing in pious. Greg,
yeah, Greg Olson,
Greg
pious.
Olson, pious.
Now he's Greg with the Trinity leg.
This is why it pays to be yourself and have some levity and kind of laugh things off, right, Craig?
Absolutely. Always.
Don't take yourself too seriously.
are you suggesting something? Or?
No, I wasn't. No.
Oh, okay.
We got a minute here. You don't need to name the place. I don't even – when you root for a team in the Super Bowl, I've never had this happen before. You know, I'm a Jets fan. Your team is in the Super Bowl. What do you do? Because you're pretty intense, dude. Where are you going to be?
Padded room by myself, Nerf things all around, you know, no shoelaces, all that stuff, man. I can't. I get too intense, dude. And, I mean, even if they won or whatever, I'd still – the entire game would be a bad experience for everybody else around me. So, yeah, by myself somewhere.
Did you see that Jalen Carter and it sounds like a bunch of the defensive line has some sort of illness.
I know.
Trouble.
It's amazing. It reminds me of 2004 when the entire defense was on IVs before the game when they played the Patriots the first time and lost. So I'm hoping that these guys are okay within the next – I guess they still got a few days. But, yeah, not encouraging at all.
Greg, you're going to be back with us in a little bit. We appreciate you manning the set at Circle Las Vegas. Thank you.
All right, fellas.
Look it up. Big Game Bash. Big Game Bash. Circle Las Vegas. Multiple locations. Still a good amount of room at Stadium Swim, but it'll fill up, and that venue holds comfortably about 3,000 plus. So check it out. CircleLasVegas.com. Big Game Bash.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
The city of New, check that, not New Orleans, city of North Las Vegas. Big game party going down at Craig Ranch Regional Park. You can watch the game on a 42-foot Ultra HD screen. It's the city of North Las Vegas' big game party, Craig Ranch Regional Park. Admission and parking are free. Food and drinks are available. There are VIP packages. We're going to give you four VIP passes right now. Four VIP passes right now. And 12 drink tickets. Hello. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller number 7. The big game party on Scintillating Sunday. City of North Las Vegas has it going down at Craig Ranch. So we had a chance to sit down with one of our favorites. Big fan of Dan Orlovsky. And the way we got into it was a little convoluted. We've had this whole thing on Radio Row with shaking the big fella's hands. And so JVT asked Orlovsky after giving him a fist bump. He's like, listen, I think it's a show of power by the big fellas to crush my hand. And Gerald McCoy crushed my hand, and he did it with purpose, Dan.
I don't know about that. I think Gerald's a big, giant, strong human being, so I think he shakes hands one way. It's just firm. I think a lot of professional athletes grow up a certain way, you know, with either their parents or coaches. This is how you shake a hand, you know, so there's a pride in that, and there's a routine in that. I think athletes have a little bit of the handshake that is, it's like the dap-up hug. Yeah. That's a little bit different as well. And so, I don't know. I'm sure there's some... If the media member hasn't maybe said glowing things and it's gone back to you, I'm sure there's a little bit.
Oh, it might be going.
Handshake, eye lock. Like, yeah, okay. What's up, bud? I actually just had one of those.
Really? You were doing the I know you said something about me. What's up, bud?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were getting it.
No.
Come on, you got to tell us.
I mean, it wasn't that big a deal, but Clarence Hill is a longtime Cowboys writer,
punk.
Reporter.
Punk. What do you say?
And he has forever... it's Twitter. I feel like taking shots. We could call it what it is. And he just came out. I'd never met him. And I shook his hand, and I kind of put my hand on his shoulder. And I was like, see, I'm not as bad of a guy as you paint me out to be. And I wanted him to make sure that I was like.
Did you move him?
No. It's a little bit more of a – I'm a pretty easygoing person too. So, but there was a little bit – there was a flash in my mind of like, this guy has said a lot of not nice things about me.
But. Wow.
Yeah. You're not going to be easygoing with us. It's going to get real, real – we're going at it.
Let's shake hands.
Dan Orlovsky is with us. All right. Get into it. Come on.
Oh, go.
So we are obsessed with the NFL Pro Era, the video game
thank
on
you.
Meta.
Me too.
And the way that you guys have incorporated onto the show is fantastic.
So thank
you. We believe we can play quarterback in the NFL because we're good at the game.
From a processing standpoint.
I fooled myself thinking it too, yeah.
But how have you enjoyed that process and being able to bring that to the people and how to use that technology to show people what's going on?
I've loved it. You know, I it's something that I remember calling a Stanford college football game probably 5 years ago. I think it was maybe even longer. Andrew's last year, I think, or back end of that. And they had it where they had a big room built and they would set up all these different GoPro cameras at practice. And so then the quarterback could take the VR headset and he would be able to see what looked like a 360-degree thing, and they would have actual practice footage that he could do. So I got introduced to something like that years ago. And then the VR, Hawk and Troy, who are the two guys from Status Pro, introduced it to me about a year ago. And I was like, this is cool, but it's a lot. And they've just refined it. And I love it because, one, no one else is doing it. Two, everybody thinks quarterbacks are great, quarterbacks are suck. Yeah. Suck. Quarterbacking easy, quarterbacks the hardest thing in the world. And so I think it just constantly takes the viewer into like, there's all this going on, and this is what he's looking at, and this is how he's seeing it. And, you know, I'm not telling everybody that it's like standing in there and being Patrick, but it's the closest thing we have for those folks. And so, excuse me, I think it's very, very, very cool for people to just gain a new appreciation for all of what's going on in a certain play.
So I want to expand this out because I have this theory. You guys at ESPN, but I think NFL media in general, does such a good job of educating fans on the intricacies of stuff, right? You, Mina, everything that you guys have done is really good, hardcore X's and O's stuff.
Thank you.
So fans can appreciate a little bit more of what's happening,
sure.
Right? I tie that into the NBA where I think one of the big, because I'm a big NBA guy.
Okay.
I think one of the big problems with NBA media is they don't do that a lot. And they do a lot
of legacy
stuff.
I hear that on social media all the time.
When people are disenchanted with the NBA, I think it's more of they don't understand a Spain pick and roll. They don't understand, you know, a box and one. They don't understand what they're watching. They just see three at the end of a possession. They don't know what went into getting that three. And I think NBA media needs to do a little bit more what you guys do, which is educate people. And I think that would really help. And that goes for all sports, but I think that is really important.
Yeah. I, you know what? I've got four kids, three of them are boys, so, and they're athletes, so we're becoming more. I'm not a massive basketball person, but we're becoming more NBA fans. I got a big Luka fan, so that's something I hear on social media all the time. You know, we got a really good group at ESPN, and I think a lot of passionate people. I know people often say, like, oh, this is what J.J. Redick was going to be type stuff, so... Yeah, we're lucky, the group that we have. You know, we're all kind of good at a certain role, and it goes well for a show.
Is there a downside? Is probably not the right word, but now everybody thinks they know everything. They're like, oh, he obviously should have just done this.
The answer is yes.
Yeah,
I mean, we saw that a little bit with the Josh Allen final play of the AFC title game, and you know, I was a little bit discouraged because, you know, part of I take pride in, I really do. I take pride in hopefully getting people understanding, like, yo, it is so hard.
Yeah.
It is, and one of the things I said, you think they pay Patrick $50 million a year because he's, there's a lot of them? No. And so, you know, it was a little bit discouraging when people were like, well, you should have done this. You know, like, it sounds great until, you got 19 things happening in 1 second. So, yeah, I do think the majority of the people have just gained an appreciation for how hard it is rather than the simplicity of, oh, anybody can do this.
And on that play in particular, people, like, you look at the final play and you watch it and you say, well, obviously the blitz is coming from this side. Why didn't you know that? Well, if you don't know the fact that they had run that same look 10 times and faked it.
Yeah. My question to those people are, okay, the only way for Josh to fix that is to take everybody on his offensive line to go right. You better be darn sure that defensive end isn't pressuring you. Because if he is, you're dead and the play is over. So it's a coin flip of like, and being on the road instead of being at home. You only get one leg kick as the quarterback in his silent cadence to be like, give me the ball. If he had seven of them, maybe he would have been able to figure it out. But it's a coin flip of like, what kind of trouble do you think you can get yourself out of?
I think you should have just completed the pass and won the game. Like,
yeah.
I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah, or just make the catch.
Yeah, right.
You
know?
Easier said than done.
That's great. How much did you think that you would enjoy? I'm assuming you enjoy what you do now.
I love it.
But did you think that you would enjoy it this much after you got out of the game?
No, I've only loved football, though. Football is the only thing. I loved baseball as a, you know, a 4 to 12-year-old. The only thing I've ever loved since 12 is football. I've only loved football. And so I love it. I'm very aware of what my career was as a player, and then also the seat that I get to sit in. So I'm super fortunate. I love it. It keeps my competitive juices flowing. That being said, I can't wait for Tuesday, you know, when football season's over.
So I wanted to go to the game on this Sunday. And one of the things I've been asking people, we're having these conversations about these quarterbacks, right, and then Mahomes and this legacy and the fact that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson can't get there. We consider these guys so great. Why don't we talk about Jalen Hurts in the same breath? He's in his second Super Bowl in 3 years. Why don't we speak about Jalen Hurts the way we speak about the other three guys we just mentioned, and Joe Burrow as well?
Well, because he's not as good at quarterback as them. He's not as physically talented as they are. That doesn't mean he's not an awesome quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like the conversation we've had about Brock Purdy. Well, Brock Purdy's gone to the NFC title in two straight years and then won the Super Bowl and didn't get to the Super Bowl. Well, he's got Kyle Shanahan. He's got Christian McCaffrey. They got the number one defense. Okay, you know, so, and I've said, if I'm going to laud Purdy, then I've got to laud Jalen. But these are facts. You know, this is a fact. Who's got the number one offensive line in football? The Eagles. Who's got the number one running back in football? The Eagles. Who has the number one defense in football? The Eagles. So you would think a lot of quarterbacks that are good players, you're going to win a lot of games. Who's thrown the ball the least amount out of anybody in the NFL this year? The Eagles. Who's run the ball more than anybody in the NFL this year? The Eagles. Those are facts. Those aren't opinions. So, you know, there's just the reality of the team. You're being like, man, it's a really, really, really good football team. But there's no question. You have to give Jalen the credit.
We do. Yes. And he's young. Who's the QB of the future? Who's the next star in the NFC?
Jane Daniels.
I mean, it's like, just, that's it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you're asking star, though. I mean, I think that that encapsulates different things. I don't think Jalen Hurts is star material. I think Jaden Daniels is a star. He can have an off-field presence that would grow and attract people to want to follow him, root for him, cheer for him.
You're very deliberate in your delivery. Okay. Anyone else? What about Jordan Love?
No.
Why not?
What about J.J. McCarthy?
Maybe.
What about Hendon Hooker?
Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Now let's just name them all.
every starting and backup quarterback in the NFC?
You know, the NFC is weird. No one wants Caleb Williams?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Okay. It is strange. The NFC really is light on, like, first 4 or 5 year quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. The second biggest winner. Now in his mid-20s in the NFC. Brock Purdy.
No. He might not be a starting quarterback in, like, you know, 10 months.
Yeah. He's not going to start making 45 or 50 mil a year?
I don't think he's going to get that money.
On that contract.
They're going to do it, aren't they?
No.
No. I mean, they're going to do it.
Like, cut him off?
Hopefully.
I think
the Browns gave up on Baker Mayfield, so we give credit to the Bucks for bringing him in. Rams brought him in, too. Beat the Raiders. So the Bucks brought him in, and now they've got him signed for an affordable rate at, like, 60% of the big boys' rate.
Yeah. Like, that's what you have to do with Brock Purdy. There's no way you're giving him $40 plus million.
My point is, the Niners could be the first team that has gotten really good play from a rookie, and they're like, nah, we're not up. Sorry, you're not hitting $50 million.
Right. Well, because it's an insanely small sample size, and you've also seen some pretty strong downside of his play as well.
Yeah, this year wasn't good.
No, you saw increased turnover rate. Putting the ball in danger wasn't as effective. And that happened to coincide, obviously, with the pieces going missing a little bit with injury. But that is somewhat worrisome that your play declines to that level when some of the skill position players start to disappear as well. Is it not?
I'm sorry. I'm totally distracted by the guy who's like machine gun sneezing. Adam is. Are you ever a 7 sneezer plus?
No. It irritates me.
Doesn't it?
It irritates me.
It's so bad
because
then you feel bad for people.
No, I don't.
Have like 9 and you're like, all right, dude.
No, I don't. Because
he can't stop or she can't stop.
Isabel sneezes all the time. And
yeah, here we go.
No, let me tell you. You do not understand. I need to say this. She sneezes all the time. She'll sneeze like 4 or 5 times in a row. And I go, get a tissue. Blow your nose. Over. And she sneezes loud. She's a loud sneezer.
These households, man, between the...
And then the kids started up because they got her sinuses. Oh, don't get me started.
And the Cofield household, I was getting on the SO about not eating enough meat off the wings, not using paper towels the right way. You don't like sneezes.